Item number 10, Mr. Angelo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Paul Angelo with the Seal Company, and our item today is to consider and take action on the GASB 68 report. As you are aware, the GASB, the Governmental Accounting Standards Board, revised the accounting and financial reporting rules both for retirement systems, public sector retirement systems, and for the employers that sponsor those systems. We previously, along with the regular valuation report, presented the GASB 67 valuation report, which is about 30 pages long. That has the financial reporting information for the plan. What we have for your consideration today is the first GASB 68 report. I will notice that, you know, since we do get paid by the page, it's 121 pages long. Now, that's not quite as long as your valuation report, which is 137 pages long, but it's given it a run for its money. What's interesting about this report, and we will keep our remarks very short here, subject to your questions, is the main stuff that's in here is to take the total liability and expense numbers for the entire plan and apportion them among your many employers. And if you have a copy of this at hand, on page Roman 4 in the first section, it has a list of the 17 different employers that contribute to your plan. You are what GASB calls a cost-sharing multiple employer plan. And so what we have to do is to split the cost up and the liabilities up. That information is actually found in the little skinny GASB 67 report, because under one of the AICPA rules, AICPA are sort of the operational end of the accounting department, accounting world. They said that there are these two schedules that you should put in your plan financial statements, and actually Brown Armstrong, your auditor, likes that, so they can be audited as part of your plan financial statements. What this report does today is to take that allocation and give you a lot more detail. I'm looking to see if everybody has copies of these. I do want to point to just one item in here to give you a sense of what's different between the GASB 67 and the GASB 68, and then I will bail. If you jump all the way deep into the guts of this report to page 100, you'll find a schedule that talks about how you take the changes in the liability from one year to the next, how much of that lands on the employer's income statement as expense in the year. You've heard talk about how GASB has decoupled accounting and funding. This is the one place where you can see that. Because instead of this, what this shows is, for example, page 99. If you look on page 99, you'll see that during the valuation year, which is the 2014 calendar year, you had a difference between assumed and actual experience. You had basically an actuarial gain of $183 million. Okay? So the liability changed unexpectedly by $183 million. Under your funding policy, that is amortized over how many years? We've been talking about this all day. Okay, what is that? 18 years. Under GASB, it is amortized over the remaining service life of your entire population, which it turns out is 4.6 years, which is a lot shorter than 18. And you might think, wait, now does this mean that our members on the average are only going to work for another 4.6 years? No, I said your entire population. This average remaining future service includes the actives, weighted at however many years they have left to work, and all of your inactive and retired members. What's the remaining service life of your retired members? Zero. So when you weight the retirees with a zero and the actives with however many years you think they're going to keep working, you get 4.6. So all the liability stuff is amortized over 4.6 years. On the next page, you'll see that the investment gains and losses are amortized over 5 years. That should sound familiar, because that's the same as your asset smoothing. You'll hear people say that GASB eliminated asset smoothing. That's a big lie. They actually do use asset smoothing here. Now, these pages, there's interesting stuff here. These pages go back. You can see on the expense page, you can see, for example, the bottom of 100, if you take all these gains and losses together, about $200 million. $42 million of that $200 million is recognized this year. You'll see that on the expense page. The balance, which is whatever that difference is, a little over $150 million. There's a schedule called deferred inflows and outflows. That's like the remaining balances. So all these numbers do tie together. But the real takeaway here, perhaps at the policy level, is that it's a much shorter amortization period, and it's a boatload of numbers. I mean, when GASB said, oh, we should allocate this stuff among the different employers, maybe they had an idea of how much work was involved, but it's just a ton of arithmetic. We are working very closely with both your auditor, your employer's auditors. We've met with them, still ongoing. I will also tell you this is the first year that this has happened, and the rules are still, you know, the ink is still drying on some of these rules. Just this week, the AICPA came out with a little piece of guidance that has to do with how to handle pickup contributions, because that turns out was something controversial. There was a controversy about when you're doing things as a percentage of payroll, is it total payroll or pensionable payroll? Well, we use pensionable payroll. GASB likes total payroll. So it could be that we come back to you next year and say, we've tweaked these a little bit. There are just still some moving parts. But on the best of our information, working with your auditors, this is the information that you would give to your employers for the use in their financial statements. With that, Mr. Chairman, I think I'm under my 15 minutes.
Yes, you are. Okay. Questions?
Thank you, Andrew.
Do you accept this or a motion, or is this?
Yeah, I'll move to accept the
second.
All right, no further questions. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Accepted. Thank you.